Toronto International Festival of Authors, which begins today, if you're listening, in real time, the 19th of September. Let's go have those chats right now on Get Lit. You're listening to Get Lit, and I'm on the telephone with recent birthday woman, Anuja Varghese. Happy belated again.
Thank you.
You're here to talk about Lit Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool, series that's been going on for some time. What can you tell me about the history of Lit Live? I know you're actually fairly recent to being part of that team.
Yeah, I've only been part of it for a couple years now, but Lit Live, if people don't know, is Hamilton's longest-running reading series. We've been doing this in Hamilton for over 30 years now. So not me specifically for over 30 years, but, you know, Hamilton writers and readers, enthusiastic readers and people kind of involved in the local book scene have been hosting this reading series in Hamilton, and basically we have four Canadian authors reading from their work at every Lit Live. Usually it's authors with a new book out. And we have authors reading fiction, nonfiction, poetry, spoken word. We've had literary fiction, short stories, mysteries, thrillers, memoir, horror, romance. So we really do kind of try and program a mix of different kinds of books, diverse authors. So you might see like a national bestseller next to a brand new book from an indie press, next to, you know, a really cool poet that you've never heard of. So every Lit Live is themed, and it tends to be a different experience every single time. So that's what it is. It's pay what you can. So we don't ever want, you know, financial circumstances to stop anyone from coming out. But $10 at the door will get you a free drink at the bar. It takes place at the Staircase Theater on the first Sunday of every month, September to June, at 7 p.m.
Very cool. And run down what's happening. So the next one, I guess, then, is very, very soon, because as at airtime, we are approaching the end of September.
That's right, yes. Yeah. So the first Sunday of every month, which means the next Lit Live takes place on Sunday, October 6th. And the theme is hauntings. So I think appropriate for spooky season upcoming. And we have a great lineup of authors reading around that theme. So we have Ai Zhang, Nabin Rusnam, poet Carolyn Morgan, and Andrew Sullivan, our Hamilton author.
Nice.
So we always try and have at least one Hamilton author at every Lit Live. So yeah, I hope people come on out and enjoy getting a bit haunted.
Now, you folks had to do something this summer that you haven't done. We all know arts funding is kind of difficult to obtain and can be an outright disaster sometimes. But you had, I can't remember if it was GoFundMe or Indiegogo, but a campaign which was very successful.
Yeah, for sure. And I really should do a kind of quick shout out and thank you here. So at the end of our last season, we hadn't received some of the grants that we typically get to keep this thing going, and we weren't sure if we would be able to continue it. So yeah, as you said, we ran a little crowdfunding campaign, and oh man, our community just came out with such amazing and generous support for Lit Live. We also found out that we got some City of Hamilton funding for the very first time.
Wow.
So, thanks to all of that, we're just so thrilled to be back with a fabulous lineup of authors, and on behalf of our whole Lit Live organizing committee, and all the authors who you'll get to see when you come out to Lit Live, I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who has supported us. Thank you. It means a lot, and we're really glad to be back again this year.
It's going to be a great year. You already had a great start. Remind people where they can go online for more information.
The best way to probably keep up with what we're doing, what's coming up, who's going to be there at Lit Live every month would be to follow us on Instagram. We're at Lit Live Readings, or visit our website, litlivereadings.com.
Wonderful. Anuja, I can't say your name. I told you before we started talking. Things are crazy right now at CFMU. So Anuja Varghese has been talking about Lit Live. And just quick before we go, we talked about a fun podcast. Where can people hear that? Tell us a little bit about that. Do a little personal spiel.
A little personal spiel? Oh, my goodness. Called Woodbine. It's made, so this is a fiction horror podcast. It's very fun. It's a little bit queer. I think it drops September, I want to say 26th. The podcast is called Woodbine, and it debuts September 27th, wherever podcasts are found.
Beautiful. So check out Anuja there, or head on down to Lit Live and check out, you can meet her, the whole team, and all of the fantastic authors. Thanks for coming on the show to tell us about it today.
That's right. I should have mentioned that probably, that I am usually the host of Lit Live.
That's right. Exactly.
So yeah, come on down to the staircase, say hi, have a drink, and hear some great authors read in Hamilton.
Awesome. Thanks, Anuja.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Get Lit, and we are here on Zoom with Roland Gulliver, director of the Toronto International Festival of Authors. Welcome back to the show, Roland.
Thank you very much for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
Very, very pleased. It's been a while, and we were just before the recording began talking about how when you first started, was it 2020?
It was indeed.
Oh, now that was a different time, and
well, we were young.
That's been sucked into a black hole of time. What a strange time to take over a festival of this magnitude. I guess I want to know right off the skip that it's been now, this will be your fourth or fifth year? I can't do
it. It'll be my fifth festival, which is quite scary.
Did you find over that course, because you started, of course, in a virtual world for the festival, that it was more difficult to find your headspace for this festival? Or did you actually find that in a weird way you got to grow it outward because everyone was regrowing their events?
It's funny kind of particularly now as we look back. Look back to 2020. How there were things that were really interesting and exciting to be able to do. And obviously, you know, whenever I meet people, I go, "Well, I started in February 2020," and everyone kind of goes, "Oh, okay." Which you know, it was a difficult time, and I'd come and arrived in Toronto, and promptly had to go back to Scotland because you know I didn't have anywhere to live, I didn't have any healthcare. But we managed to take a lot of the ideas that I wanted to do for the festival and make them into our digital program. And we were able to, it was quite exciting because I'd come from Scotland and from Edinburgh. I was able to almost like tell people what I was doing in Toronto. So it was like, it was such a shame not to be able to be in person, because being in person is what's so magical about book festivals. But at the same time, it was a really valuable opportunity to be able to reach audiences around the world. I often talk about the fact my mum got to watch, but actually she learned so much about Canadian books and authors from those 2 years that we were digital, and we got to do interesting things with international partners, and we were able to do events in different languages that we then captioned in English and things like that. So there were interesting things. We did podcasts and did animations. So there were things that were exciting to be able to experiment with, but it didn't replace being in person. And we came back in person in 2022, and it's been really lovely to finally be able to like to meet lots of great writers and great Canadian writers who I'd kind of been so excited to come here and meet, and then also bring friends from around the world to share their books and stories.
How much, I can't think of another word offhand than pressure. I don't really mean pressure, but how much impetus is there to take over something like this festival and really make a lot of changes versus a conservative sort of viewpoint where you're like, well, if it ain't broke sort of situation, coming in and moving forward as you have, let's say 2022 on, you know all about what the festival was. Was there a lot that you felt compelled to change, like you kind of felt like that's what the public wanted, or was it more like weighing each and every element and trying to figure out where to reach out, where to branch out, and where to simply hone what you already have?
That's probably a great politician's answer to say that it was a bit of both. but I guess there's an element to all book festivals that's very, very simple in the sense of It's, you know, it's about an author on stage talking about their story, talking about their book, and sharing it with readers who want to find out about it. And that's always like the heart and soul of what a festival is. And then it's how you, what you build around it, and how you explore different ways of making making the festival appealing and attractive and exciting. And I think TIFA has, you know, it's, we're now 45 years old, and it has such an amazing history. And I think, you know, when it started back in the late 70s, it had an impact, and it had a position, and it had a real role in the cultural community. And that's changed a lot since then. And the Toronto, the city, has changed enormously. And I think I was really excited about how do you make a festival in the 21st century for a city like Toronto that reflects all the cultures and the identities and the languages and the books and the stories, and how do you open out the festival to those different readers and those different storytellers, and how do you make a festival that's appealing so that people will, you know, get in their car and take on the Gardiner Expressway or TTC to come down to be by the lake. You know, and so we moved the festival to late September, to when the weather's warmer, and so we can use all this outdoor space. So, you know, this, we brought in different kinds of more genre, because that's what people are reading, and kind of reflecting what people's readership is. So we now have a pop fiction strand, which looks at romance and horror and things like that, and more creative writing masterclasses, because again, it's about how we reflect what people are interested in, and how the festival adapts to that.
Yeah, what's one of the things that struck me when I was looking through this year's festival website is just how much more there is in terms of types of genres of authors, of course, genres of books, but also just in terms of events. I mean, this is the flagship of the year, this event coming up starting September 19th, which will be air date, actually, so I could technically say today, though it gets confusing. But there's so much going on year round. Yeah, I'm wondering, has that been expanded in the last couple of years as well, as part of this mission to reflect more what readers are looking for?
I think one of the things I noticed when I started was that we were doing so much year-round activity and other kinds of events and projects, and we didn't celebrate it as much as we should have. So we have things like the Toronto Lit Up program, where we will be, I guess if it's now September the 19th, on September the 10th, we announce the fall season for that. And that, you know, that's a program where we help support book launches around the city. We have our TIFA book club, which actually was really interesting, because that used to be in person until the pandemic, but then we had to go online, and actually it's been more successful being an online book club than an in-person book club, which is a really lovely thing. And I think before my time, there used to be like a monthly event that the festival used to do, whereas now we're a bit more focused. So we do one or two a season, depending on what happens or what's interesting. And we work in partnership with people like the TPL and Hot Docs and things like that. So a lot of what we try and do is focus on building the festivals and making the, so we have Motive, which is the crime and mystery festival. It takes place in June, and that's been going 3 years now, and that's becoming really popular again with the crime and mystery readers. When I had those now iconic 3 weeks in February 2020, I talked to people about who their favorite writers were, and a lot of them talked about mystery writers, and they why does Canada not have a crime festival? And in Scotland, there's Bloody Scotland, and there's Harrogate in the UK, yeah, things like that. So, that's been really enjoyable to explore that, and, you know, bring that into the festival program as well.
And what it does too is it just creates so many more points of entry for the average reader to come on board, and then of course it makes it appealing to different types of readers. So there's just that much more. There's so many more ways now, even compared to probably when I first started coming around myself, like in 2015 or something like that. It just seems like there are so many more ways to get involved, and that's just a great thing. And that also goes for your actual programming during the festival, which is what we're here to talk about, is the festival that starts, again, if you're listening today, if you're listening in real time. It's wild. There is so much. I thought I'll take a quick look and see what I'd like to attend. And the look was not quick. There was a lot of programming there. Tell me a little bit about how you even begin. Do you have a big programming team? How do you make these decisions? I know that's a hard question to answer, but
no, it's a question I get asked a lot. We have two or three colleagues in the programming team, and there are lots of different factors that go into making the festival program. And I guess, again, going back to what you're saying, that there are so many different kinds of readers now, and there's so many, you know, we're all a lot more comfortable with reading lots of different kinds of books and stories. And I think, you know, social media and TikTok have helped us to be able to kind of break down those boundaries, which makes it really exciting. But it also makes it an even bigger challenge for a festival programmer, because the wealth of stories that are published each year is just incredible in terms of the books that come out. And I think there's a kind of journey that different elements of the program take. So we have lots of conversations with the publishers in Canada, from the very big, from Penguin Random House, to the very small, like Book Hug or House of Anansi and those great Canadian independents. And we find out essentially what everyone's publishing and you know, who's around and who might be interesting. And you start to put together essentially a collage of, you know, you want to have your exciting international names like Andrew O'Hagan or Roddy Doyle. And then you want to have great Canadians like Michael Ondaatje and Anne Michaels. And then you kind of start to move down and look at different themes that you want to explore, whether it is genre fiction, so you want some romance, but then we want some nonfiction. So, you know, in this year's festival, that people like Ian Williams, who's doing the Massey Lecture, or Jeff Rubin, who's talking about the Canadian economy. Then, you know, so then if we think about all the different elements. So we've got a Tea for Kids program. So there's kind of different spaces that get filled. And then, you know, there's things that you know your audience will love, the things you know that will be important for your sponsors or your donors. And then it's just the things that we just really love and want to be part of the festival program and we found or discovered. And then we work with lots of different international partners. So, you know, people like the Goethe Institute or the Alliance Française. And this year we're working with the WOW Culture Festival in Korea, who have been an incredible partner to work with. So we've got Bora Chung, who's coming, who's an international. She's won lots of international awards, and she's coming to be in conversation with Knessia Lubrin. So lots of pieces of the puzzle that go together. And I think for me, it's really exciting and important that there is that choice and that variety, so that you find you can choose depending on, you know, what time you've arrived at the harbourfront or what you're interested in, or whether you want a cup of, like, you know, we have tea, cake and a slice of sorcery, which is an event with tea and cake and two authors. And, you know, you want to have lots of different experiences that will appeal to as many audience members and readers as possible.
And of course, the festival's name itself, Toronto and International, are the first two words. Obviously, you know, you try to blend them both. Is there also an attempt to kind of bridge them both? Connect them together?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Always. And again, that was one of the exciting things about being digital for those first couple of years. We could really get those different kinds of audiences to talk to each other. But yeah, one of my favorite things is being able to bring together an international author and a Canadian author and putting them on the stage together. So that event I was just talking about with Bora Chung and Knessia Lubrin is a really, and I'm really excited about that, because that will become an event that's greater than the sum of its parts because of the conversation that they have. We've got another Italian, a great Italian writer called Nicola Leggiola, who's going to be with Michael Milgaard. And I'm, you know, they're both literary writers, but their novels are very kind of based and use the tropes of crime and true crime. And so again, what the conversation that comes together will be very interesting. And also that beauty of a book festival is that only the people in that room at that time will experience that conversation. So it's not like a theatre run where, you know, you could go Tuesday night or Wednesday night, Thursday night. It's like this is a very special little intimate moment. And then we're working with the Tam Fam Lit Jam, who are a great organisation based in Scarborough, who are bringing in different Tamil writers for their Tamil, and then they bring in their Tamil audience from around the city. So that is, you know, again, one of the great things that's really exciting about creating a festival in Toronto is that you can explore all these languages and cultures and things like that.
Well, let's talk a little bit of, I guess, nuts and bolts. We certainly can't go over everything that's happening because, as I said, that would mean I'd have to do a three-parter interview, I think. But are you able to talk about some highlights, some things this year that you would personally recommend that are because they're new or because they're just exciting? You've brought up a few very interesting things already. Is there anything you haven't mentioned yet that you think are...
It's,
I know everything falls under that umbrella. Yeah,
but. Obviously, they're all my favorites.
Exactly.
So if we're kind of now reporting live on September the 19th, we will be starting the festival at the Kerner Hall, where we'll be doing an event with the great Australian thriller writer Leon Moriarty, who wrote Big Little Lies and Nine Perfect Strangers. So she'll be doing a very special event. And then that's followed in the same night by The Moth, who are a great American storytelling organization who've been here for 3 years. There's so much. We've got Andrew O'Hagan, who's a brilliant Scottish novelist, who again, his book Caledonian Road is an incredible kind of Dickensian story about London and cybercrime and oligarchs, but also he on stage is just a brilliant storyteller. Which will be really fascinating to hear him. And then obviously Ian Williams, who's presenting the Massey lecture about conversation. And I think there's a lot in this year's program around the challenges we all now face in terms of how do we create space for conversation? How do we deal with the difficult issues? You know, we've got Carol Off, who's the great CBC journalist, who's talking about how language has been used and abused, and how do we reclaim it? Our overarching theme is writing home, and so a lot of what we're doing is exploring the ideas of home. And on the Thursday night, the 26th, we'll have a whole night celebrating at Toronto, where we will. It's an event called Heart of the City, and we'll have food from the Depenner Cookbook, which is an iconic community kitchen in the city. There'll be performances and music. There'll be interviews with Catherine Hernandez, who's a great Toronto writer. And also we will be launching our own book called Write in the Neighbourhood, where we commission some stories from across Toronto and from our Toronto Light Up book. And we are publishing that with Book Hook. And then on the second Friday night, we've got a Toronto Poetry Slam. We also then have a great Japanese writer, Toshikazu Kawaguchi, yes, who wrote Until the Coffee Gets Cold. And he's, you know, he's a great, a worldwide sensation. So to have him as part of the festival is amazing. And then over the second weekend, we have a mini festival of Indigenous stories. And we'll have some great people like Murray Sinclair talking about his autobiography. And also Tom Wilson, the musician. It's
personal friend of mine, actually. So Tom and I go back. So that's it's very cool.
Yeah. So there's so much. We've got a poutine event. So you can come and try some poutine as part of our Bite the Book food strand. It depends. You know, we have our Tea for Kids program. We'll have partnership with the Children's Book Bank, where there'll be drop-in events and stories and illustrators from all around the world, from Germany and from Taiwan. So There is so much for people to enjoy and to explore.
And somehow this has fit into 10, 11 days or something like that. I don't
know. Yes, it is 11 days. And essentially you just buy a pass, but you can buy a whole festival pass, mm-hmm. or you can buy one for the weekend or a night or a day, and you can go and see as much as you want on that day. So
I always recommend that to people here. I work with the Gritlit Festival in Hamilton, and I always say, you know, buy that pass because you're going to go for something you love and then discover something new that you didn't know you were going to love. Right.
Exactly.
And you build relationships with new authors, and it's a wonderful thing. So, well, we're just about out of time, and I know you're probably a bit busy. So I guess just to wrap up, I would say, now you've been here for a while, you've been doing this festival. What was the first thing that excited you about coming to Toronto, and what excites you now? Or are they the same thing?
That's a good question. Probably the same things, I think. Going back to that, again, I can almost, it's funny because when I talk about it, it's like, when you make festivals, you know, it is about a love of books and a love of novel stories and things like that. But also you are spending a lot of time almost trying to work out how people tick and how people will behave and what's going to be the event that's going to excite them and get people to come down. And, you know, what's the Toronto audience want to see? What do they want to experience? So obviously I've learned very, very well that food is an integral part of any Torontonian experience. So that's definitely knowledge. And, you know, I developed a great love of takeout since coming here. And I think, you know, the sense of what the city, always been interesting is, so when I got the job, I told people in Scotland about, I'm going to Toronto, I'm going to Canada, and everyone's like, oh my God, Toronto is amazing. Canada's amazing. But actually coming to Toronto, people are less celebratory of the city. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of what we as a festival should do is to celebrate the city in terms of its diversity, the neighborhoods, the languages, the food, the weather, maybe not the traffic, but, you know, excellent bike lanes, you know, all those things that are the essence of what the city is, and really making a festival that celebrates what Toronto is as this great storytelling place. You know, one of the things I love is that both Canadians are great short story writers, but also Canadians themselves are great storytellers. Everyone can tell the story of their family journey, regardless of where they come from. They are able to kind of go, this is who I am, this is where I come from, these are different parts of my heritage, these are part of my story, which again enabled me to go, oh, actually I can now tell my story of, you know, I'm from Scotland but my family's from England and all these different, now I'm here. And so I think that's, you know, appreciation of and celebration of what Toronto is kind of has gone from a fascination to a belief.
Oh, wow. That's cool. If you're looking for more information, folks, go to festivalofauthors.ca. You can find out all the events, more details than we were able to provide here. And of course, the nuts and bolts of how to get a pass and how to get a ticket, how to get there. We've been speaking with TIFA director Roland Gulliver. Thanks for taking the time out of what is no doubt a manic schedule to chat with me today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you. Speak to you again soon.
Thank you to both Roland and Anuja for being my guests today on Get Lit. You can catch us every single week, 12:30 p.m. on CFMU.ca or 93.3 FM in Hamilton, or, of course, anywhere online after around noonish on Thursdays. And you should continue to listen, download all the old ones, check out all the great authors that we've been lucky enough to have on this show. And as always, thanks for listening.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to CinemaScope. I am your host, Scarlett Sapia, right here on 93.3 CFMU FM. And I have to say, I just got back from rapping at TIFF 2024, and it was incredible. So we're going to do another show today all about all of the movies that I had the absolute privilege of seeing at TIFF that I really want to report on for all of you. So the last movie I watched, as you know, I usually start the show with that, was actually a movie I saw at TIFF, and I don't have any music to go along with it, so why don't we just dive right in and talk about it? It doesn't get any better than this. That is the name of the film, and I want to spoil as little as possible of the movie. It's a Midnight Madness horror movie, so there are like horrors on a shoestring budget by indie filmmakers. And let me say that it's a really scary movie. It is a terrifying experience going in and sitting on my own in the theater. I very rarely go to horror movies alone because I get scared so easily. But the director, videographer, and star, he was actually at the screening, and he did a little Q&A at the end. He came out and introduced the movie to begin with, and he said to the audience that it is a documentary on the most horrible thing that's ever happened to him.